This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The phone lines are open at 977-1070, 977-1070. Invite you to join our conversation with Governor Christine Todd Whitman, who joins us on the long line from her office in New Jersey. Good afternoon, Governor.
How are you, Coy?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice again.
Good to talk to you, as always.
Happy New Year to you. How were the holidays at your house?
They were actually great. A lot of family, so that makes it fun.
Fantastic. We have not had an opportunity as of yet to chat with you post-elections in November, which sort of we're seeing the results of that of those elections now in Washington and across the country. Share some of your thoughts about what happened in November.
Well, I believe the public spoke out very clearly before the election, and we did talk a little bit before then. There were three trends going that I wasn't sure which way that we would fall. One was people saying, a pox on both your houses. Neither party's talking to me. I hate what's happening in Washington or what's not happening in Washington, and I'm just not going to vote. And normally in an election where the Congress is the top of the ticket, our voting turnout in this country has only been 38%, so it's not very good to begin with. The other trend was those who felt the same way. They didn't like what either party was saying. They were unhappy with what was going on, and they were just going to vote against any incumbent, irrespective of party. And the third group were those who said, I hate what's going on. I don't like the fact that neither party's talking about the big issues or coming to conclusions and really trying to pass policy. But Republicans are in charge. They're presenting a face that seems narrow-minded and litmus test, mean-spirited, and I'm going to vote out every Republican. And that's what happened. Actually, the voter turnout usually is 35%. I was in congressional, where the congressional elections are the top of the ticket, and this year it looks like it was about 48%. And the people just said, enough. I'm voting out Republicans. It wasn't about the war exclusively, because if it had been, Joe Lieberman would not have been reelected. And yet it wasn't about not being conservative enough, as some Republicans would like to say, because there are a number of conservative congressmen who lost, us surprisingly, even though almost all the moderates lost as well.
What are the lessons you think that came out of November for the Republican Party?
Well, the first is that we've got to move away from being perceived as a party that's only about litmus tests. We need to get back to the party that cared about letting people keep more of their tax dollars, they're more of their money in their pocket by reducing taxes, but at the same time balancing budgets and being worried about deficits. Being a party that respected the individual and showing that by not trying to find ever new ways for government to get into our lives, trying to find ways to keep government out of our lives while respecting the role of government. A party that focused on a strong national defense, security at home, and engaged foreign policy, but one where democracy showed its face by giving people opportunity and economic gain. We didn't try to impose it on people in a strong-arm way. And stop having a litmus test for every social issue. And if we don't do that, I believe we're going to continue to marginalize ourselves, and we are not going to be a majority party. And if you care about those other issues and think that they are important as a way to govern, then you need to be in power in order to govern.
Governor Christine Todd Whitman is our guest, former head of the Environmental Protection Agency. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number is 977-1070. George is on the line in Fluvanna. George, thanks for the call. You're on with Governor Whitman.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. You suggested something with the social issue. I'd like to suggest that the Republican Party is in the process of imploding because of what I will call the right, the devoted right, etc. The issue to me is that the libertarian wing of the party has been told they are no longer welcome. Rush Limbaugh, whom I listen to regularly, informed me that if I'm not anti-abortion or I'm not whatever it is, pro-life or whatever, however they want to phrase it, I'm not welcome in the party. Okay, you know, blessings on you, Rush. Goodbye. Nice to know you. But I just don't see it. And George Bush's one veto was on stem cell research. I'm not going to argue the issue of stem cell research. I'm going to argue, is that the only thing that he didn't like? He loved McCain-Feingold? My gosh, what's wrong with your party? My party, too, by the way.
No, I can't disagree with you, because that's my concern. We have become this party that seems to judge everything by a very narrow set of criteria, and you can't be just partially there. I mean, if you're pro-life, that's not good enough if you still believe that you could have stem cell research. And, you know, being pro-life is about the living as well as the yet to be born. Yet those who are describing the party, who are speaking for the party at the national level, have a much narrower view of the world. And you have the Rush Limbaughs who say, you've got to be 1,000% with me or you're not there and you're not acceptable. And that's just wrong. That isn't how you become a national party, and it is not how you govern. It may help you win an election or two, and certainly there are those who have gotten elected running on that kind of a ticket. But if you'll remember, after the 2004 elections, Republicans were thumping their chests and patting themselves on the back and saying, well, we've now established a dynasty because we know who we are, we've been very controlled, we have these social issues, they're going to win us for us. And look what happened in this last election cycle. It's something that I've been talking about for a while now, and where I feel that those of us who are more to the libertarian or centrist or thinking conservatives, however you want to describe yourselves, have to stand up and say, we're here, we're an important part of this party, and we're going to take it back. We're not going to let it be marginalized by those that have such a narrow view of the world.
Well, I agree we can't just walk. I mean, there's no way a libertarian party is going to make it, but I mean, I'm very libertarian. Whether you have a baby or not, Christine, I don't care. It's none of my business. Just don't tell me about it.
Yeah, well, that's why I started It's My Party Too, and we have that website, www.myparty2.com, to give people who are in the center a voice. We don't have to agree on everything. We're not going to. That's okay. As long as we share the core values that make the determination as to whether we're Republican or Democrat or Libertarian, if you share those values, you can't expect people to agree on every issue, and particularly when you get into those social issues, which really aren't the ones that affect us most in our everyday lives. We may care passionately about gay marriage, but I don't know how many people actually are impacted by it, and it's certainly, I've been married for 32 years, it's not going to affect my marriage one way or the other. It's one that people can care about, but we've got to stop deciding that we have to be in one place on that, or you cannot be a part of this party. If we are, we're going to be a very small party.
George, thank you so much for the call. We're talking with Governor Christine Todd Whitman, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Just to underscore something you said, and then we'll move on, but I totally agree with you. I think, even looking back over the last 30, 40 years at the Republican Party, the openness with which they welcomed Democrats in the late 70s and early 80s just signified, I think it heralded that new Reagan era, which really reinvigorated the Republican Party post-Nixon, and made it so strong. And the way they did that was by being so welcoming and sort of getting rid of those litmus tests.
Absolutely. I mean, Reagan said it. He said, if you're with me 80% of the time, you're my friend, not my enemy. And yet we have people said, that's not good enough. You've got to be with me 100% of the time. And, you know, I don't think we should assume that this is just a problem with the Republicans. It's going to be very interesting to watch how the Democrats handle going forward now that they're in control of both houses, because they have an awful lot of pressure from their far left, the same kind of pressure that we have from the far right on how to define themselves. And it's the unfortunate thing when the extremes control the dialogue is that you don't get good policy. You can't have a dialogue if people are in their bunkers throwing the hand grenades. And that's what happens when you have the extremes controlling the dialogue. And that seems to be where we've been for the last few years. And I don't see that changing over the next two.
Governor Whitman, our guest, and that sort of leads me to the next question, which was about this new leadership in Washington and some of the things that you expect to see, you hope to see, and perhaps you wouldn't like to see. You wrote recently on the blog at myparty2.com, which I strongly encourage everyone to check out, you wrote about how we have new leadership, but bipartisanship is an absolute must.
It is. I mean, if you look back at the history of this country, you will see that the major pieces of legislation, the things that have been the most important to us, have all been passed in a bipartisan way. They required that kind of dialogue to come up with answers that really solve complicated problems. And the trouble today is, and again, both parties are doing this, they're looking on every issue through that partisan political lens, saying, not is this good for the country, but is this good for my reelection? Is this going to strengthen my party so we will stay in control or we will take over control? And you know that Democrats said they were going to change the tenor in Washington. They were going to open it up and welcome the Republicans in, even though the Republicans hadn't welcomed them when they took over. And yet now we see the first 100 hours where they said, oh, we're not even going to allow the Republicans to have a voice. They can't say anything about these major issues. So that's not exactly the kind of start I was hoping for from this Congress if they were going to be serious about having a bipartisan approach to issues. Because at the end of the day, that's the only way we're going to get things done.
Yeah, it is incredibly disappointing. Is there any hopes, perhaps, that you look towards perhaps some leaders on the left of the Democrats that might be doing some of the things that you can point to as good leadership and quality leadership in this term?
Well, there's certainly centrists on both sides of the aisle who really want to get things done. The problem is that they're not in leadership right now, it would not appear. And leadership has such extraordinary control that they make it very difficult for those others to actually reach out and work across party lines. Because what they say to them is, look, if you don't stick with us on these issues, if you start to make compromises with the other side, you're undermining our party's ability to be successful in the next round of elections. We're going to take you off committees that you want. We're not going to let your legislative initiatives get a hearing. And so they have enormous amount of power. And the other thing that leadership has today, and again in both parties, that they didn't used to have in the past is these leadership PACs, which allow them to raise a great deal of money. And then what they'll say to members, and I know this is true, I've talked to some new members, if you want a committee assignment, it costs you money. You have to raise money for the leadership PAC. And the turnabout on that is if you then don't do what leadership wants, if you become too much of a maverick, they have money to fund a candidate who will run against you in a primary, or they'll withhold money from you if you're in a competitive race. And so leadership has a lot of power, and we have to watch leadership very closely to see really where the parties will end up going.
Look in your crystal ball for us and tell us what you see, or what you would like to see, even more so, in 08 with some of the leadership, both on the left and the right, but especially in the Republican Party.
Well, obviously, I would like to see us have candidates for 08 who are going to be viable candidates who will appeal to a majority of the country, which means we've got to appeal to some Democrats and some centrists, some of those disaffected Republicans who left the party in this last few years who have said, it's not my party anymore, it's changed. And I haven't changed, but it has. It doesn't want me. As George said, you know, he was told, you're not a good member of the Republican Party because you're pro-choice. I've certainly heard that a lot because I'm pro-choice, too. I understand exactly where he's coming from. If we keep doing that, we're not going to be able to attract enough votes to get into power. And we need a candidate or candidates who can appeal and who across party lines and who are going to talk about real issues, who are going to talk about, you know, who knows. Hopefully we'll be out of the war, but out of Iraq, I doubt it. But who's going to talk about the way forward there? Who's going to talk about what we're really going to do to expand drug coverage under Medicare Part D? Who's going to talk about the deficit and debt, and how do we continue to provide the services government needs to provide while balancing a budget and not mortgaging the future? We need to have a discussion of real issues, not just the ones that get people's emotions stirred up.
Governor Christine Todd Whitman is our guest today on Charlottesville Right Now. The phone lines are open, and we invite you to join the conversation at 977-1070. Governor Whitman, do you think John McCain has a viable candidacy in the Republican Party, or do you think he's perhaps too moderate for this faction of which you speak that's in charge now?
Well, I mean, you know, John McCain is very socially conservative, and yet because he thinks for himself and he hasn't been in lockstep with the party on the war or every issue. I mean, he'll work across party lines in order to get things done. He believes in campaign finance reform. He's got some problems within his own party. He's got problems with those who control the process, and that's the tragedy here. If you had an open primary, and again, it's true of both sides, if it were just left to the members of the party to pick candidates, you'd get very different candidates than we often end up with. Because those who control the process as it moves forward in its sort of herky-jerky way that it does have more influence and don't always reflect the views of their members. And, you know, one of the clearest examples of that happened on the other side of the aisle with the Democrats in Connecticut with Joe Lieberman, where the party leadership said he hasn't been with the party enough. He actually had the audacity to support the war and to speak out for something he believed, and we don't like that, so we're going to primary him, which they did, and they knocked him off in the primary. And then the people of Connecticut said, you know what? We're not there with you. We're not that extreme. Connecticut's a very blue state. They don't support the war, so they couldn't have liked him for that. But they said, but we appreciate the fact that he represents us, and he says what he thinks, and he is willing to stand on principle.
And they didn't want to embrace the extreme alternative that the party had put up as their candidate.
Right, the party put up. They said, we're not that extreme.
Governor Christine Todd Whitman, our guest. Tonight, the president will go before the nation and share his thoughts on how we should move forward with this struggle that we are facing in the Middle East, where young men and women, some of America's very best, continue to die every day. And he's going to suggest that we send a couple of tens of thousands of more, 20,000 more. And I believe the latest news is that moving some of our soldiers out of Afghanistan directly into the heart of Baghdad. What are your thoughts on this generally and specifically?
Well, the first thought that comes to mind is I wish we'd put in all the troops that we needed right from the beginning, because then it might have made a difference. And I am not convinced that putting 20,000 more troops is going to turn things around. But I've got to listen to the president and hear what he says tonight, hear how he's actually going to do it. If it's going to be predicated, as I understand it might be, or at least a portion of the additional troops predicated on the Iraqis stepping up and taking more responsibility in certain areas, well, then that's something to talk about. But it's troubling to me that we've seen such a change in the military leadership, which would seem to be a change where the president's finding those who will agree with him and putting him in those positions. But again, I've always been somebody that believed that from the military perspective in this kind of a situation, you listen to what the people on the ground say. It's something that the president has said, and yet I hadn't heard a lot of call from our generals in Iraq for more troops now. In the beginning, yes, not now. And I've just got to hear what he's going to say about this and see how he is going to lay it out and the reason why we're doing it. Of course, I think we all have to understand that this isn't just for Iraq. It's also sending a message to Iran that we're going to be around, and they better not think that they can move in just because we have some controversy here in this country. But, you know, none of us like to see what's happening. I don't see a good end. I wish I knew what the magic formula was. But clearly we need to decide that at some point, and we've always known this, we're going to have to get out. We're going to have to turn it over, and we have to figure out the best way to get the Iraqis to take that process seriously. It's not a cut and run, as people say. It's not being disloyal. It's saying this is not a job that we have taken on for forever, and we need to understand that. They need to understand that, and we need to figure out the best way possible to make that happen.
Former Governor of New Jersey, Christine Todd Whitman, former head of the Environmental Protection Agency, thank you, and I applaud you and thank you for your service to our country and your principles and what you're doing to make this country a better place and the hard work that you put in. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Coy. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, on the Sorensen blog, and at WINA.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.